Welcome to the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Joe Masato, joined by Barry Trammell, here to recap the Thunder's 90-85 loss at the Orlando Magic on Sunday night. You know, a lot of times I start off by saying, oh, that was a fun game. That was not a fun game. It was very unpleasant. It was very, it was an ugly watch. In the end, you know, obviously it's a short-term loss, long-term win for the Thunder. This was a very important game when you look at the lottery standings. And other than that, I don't have a huge takeaway, but just before we started recording, Barry, you said you have a lot of thoughts, so I'm just going to let you go, and let's hear some of your thoughts.
Well, here's my immediate thought. The Thunder had, what'd they have? Was it 18 turnovers? 17?
I think it was 17.
17 turnovers.
16.
They shot 16 turnovers. They shot 32% from the field. They scored 85 points.
And they almost won.
Against Orlando, by the way. Against Orlando. Now, in the last, what, 2 or 3 weeks, we have been watching the Thunder without Mike Muscala, without Kenrich Williams, without Lou Gintz-Dort, without Josh Giddey, but with SGA, with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. In other words, the guys we watched tonight plus Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Yeah.
And they've been scoring 111, 125, 119. I'm just making these numbers up. I actually don't have the list of scores, but they've been scoring some high numbers. SGA sits out, and this is what we get. Is it possible that SGA is the best offensive player in the NBA history since Wilt Chamberlain? Is that possible?
Yeah.
Is he like the difference, a 44-point difference in his team's net rating or something?
Tonight was a pretty good proof point for that. You take away Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and you're like, he was playing with these guys and doing what he was doing with these guys?
How did he ever get an assist? I listened to True Hoop, a little bit of the True Hoop blog last week, and they were actually started comparing Ja Morant and SGA, and they love Morant, but I think it was David Thorpe said, you know, you need to keep your eye on SGA. Go look at the Thunder's on-off court numbers with SGA, and just how terrible. He said they're not any good with him on the court, but they're terrible without him, which that played out for 48 minutes tonight.
Well, yeah, think of this. The Thunder has the worst offense in the NBA. That's with Shai. So you take him away, and it's just beyond bad.
You know, it looked like they might win there about 5 minutes left.
Yeah.
I forgot what the lead got up to. You know, I think it was 2, which in this kind of game might as well be 20. But
they led 76-69, and then the Magic went on a big run. Thunder just had, you know, several minute scoring droughts, and yeah, the numbers are horrible. 33%, 27% from 3, 16 turnovers. The Magic actually committed 21 turnovers. And they weren't really any good either. They won by shooting 39% from the floor and 23% from the three-point line. The difference in this game was Wendell Carter Jr. If he doesn't play, I don't know who wins. He had 30 points and 16 rebounds and was pretty dominant. So, Darius Bazley scored a team-high 18 points on 6 of 11 shooting. What'd you think of?
I mean, there's no reason to dissect the offense on this, but
yeah,
but it's fun to.
Look at Poku's line.
Yeah. This is Bazley, who's actually – I'm not saying he's become a great offensive player or even a good offensive player, but for the last 2 weeks, he's been a really productive and efficient offensive player. And he was good tonight, 6 of 11 shooting. He even got to the line a few times, 7 times, made 2 threes. Anyway, so you got no SGA, you got no Dort, you got no Giddey, you got no Kenrich Williams, you got no Muscala, you got no SGA. And so you have Poku shoot 20 times. He made 3. You have Roby shoot 10 times. He made 4. You have Theo Maledon shoot 10 times. He made 3. You have Trey Mann shoot 19 times, which actually was, you know, probably not silly. But he only made 5. And basically, he shoots 11 times. This is a night Darius Bazley probably should have got about 30 shots.
Well, and Aaron, you missed one. Aaron Wiggins was 0 of 8.
Aaron Wiggins, 0 of 8. You know, he hadn't been any good since he came back.
Yeah, he struggled.
That's not good. I don't know what's going on. But it was a horrendous offensive night. No doubt about it whatsoever. But
we could have just stopped the podcast after that.
But you know what? It's a game they needed to lose. And now Indiana's won 2 in a row. It's over. Thunder's not going to be any worse than fourth in the lottery. That's over.
Yeah, there's no chance of that. They're 4 games clear of that fifth spot. And for the longest time, Barry, we were saying, you know, it's going to be a win for the Thunder if they can just stay at 4, just stay at 4.
Right.
And now it's totally flipped. They're for sure falling no lower than fourth. And you look at it now, they're a game behind the Pistons, ahead behind, I don't know what we're supposed to say. They're 1.5 games now behind the Magic, 3 games behind the Rockets, and they play the Magic on Wednesday in Oklahoma City. So they definitely have a shot to finish third, even second. I mean, that's not even out of reach now. They're only a game and a half back of Orlando right now, who has the second worst record in the NBA. So it was a brutal game to watch. It was bad on both sides, but it was a very important win for the Thunder. It might not turn out to be. Who knows? That all gets sorted out on lottery night. But the Thunder is just looking for incremental chances to add to their hopes of getting a number one pick. And tonight does that. And it hurts the Magic, one of the teams they're competing against. So it's kind of the dirty underbelly of the NBA and the lottery and stuff. But we saw it in full force tonight.
It was actually exquisite timing by the NBA, you know, schedule this matchup on a round of 32 Sunday, when the whole basketball universe is watching the NCAA and nobody's paying attention to Thunder Magic and 5 o'clock tip in God's country. It was not stellar basketball. It petrified me for the Magic, though. They had all their players for the most part, right?
Yeah.
Who were they missing?
They were missing Jalen Suggs.
Yeah, Suggs.
Obviously, Jonathan Isaac's been out the whole year.
They're missing Suggs, but they had Wagner, they had Bamba, they had Carter, they had Cole Anthony, Markel Fultz. And it was not pretty at all. Not at all.
The Magic are a really bad team, but they, on paper, they were way better than the Thunder tonight. Way better.
Oh, yeah.
Way more talent.
I've always liked, and Wendell Carter was clearly the best player on the floor. I always liked him in Chicago. I thought he's good defensive center. He doesn't have great offensive skills, although he made 2 or 3 from deep today.
Yeah. He's a good player.
He's the kind of center, you know, the Thunder could do worse than getting a guy like him playing center for him.
Yeah,
if they don't get to draft, you know, one of these superstar type guys. So, now I was very intrigued to watch Franz Wagner play, because he's, you know, the highest scoring rookie, or he was. I don't know if he still is. Everybody's excited about him. He didn't look any good at all. He didn't look better. I didn't think he was the best Wagner on the court. And I didn't know until the second quarter that his brother was playing with him in Orlando.
He didn't have a good game.
And Cole Anthony, I don't know what he was doing. He's their leading scorer. He's Orlando's leading scorer, and he was terrible. He's 1 of 7.
They just had Robin Lopez and Terrence Ross sitting over there on the bench, and former Thunder preseason great Admiral Schofield.
Harris, what's he? Is he trying to get a bonus from the management for trying to lose? And he was 2 of 10, missing badly a lot. I didn't like that team at all. Golly. I mean, I didn't like their promise. It's one thing, you know, you look at Houston and you say, oh, there's a couple of guys. You look at the Thunder, hey, there's a couple of guys. You look at Detroit, you say, there's a couple of guys. You look at Orlando and you say, golly, they're gonna stink 6 years from now.
Yeah, I know. And they, I don't know. It's just not a lot of reason for hope just with them. And They've just barely missed out on some super high picks and just haven't been able to get it done. And obviously Vucevic was a good player. Aaron Gordon was a good player. They trade those guys. And I'm not sure they've made a ton of progress. Now, maybe some of these picks will convey. But, yeah, they're in desperate need of just like the Thunder, or even more so, just given their lack of direction. If they get a number one pick, could turn it all around, and we could be talking about how exciting they are. But they're a long way off from that right now.
The tragic kingdom, as it were.
Oh, boy. We sort of backed into this, Barry, but Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, all three games on this road trip, he's been listed as questionable with the right ankle soreness. Remember, he had that right ankle sprain that caused him to miss a month. He played in the first two games. I did not expect him to play in this game because the Thunder had an easy explanation. It's a back-to-back, and Mark Daigneault said he didn't think he's ready to play a back-to-back. And from a strategic standpoint, if you're going to sit Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, you might as well sit him against the Magic instead of the Celtics, because even if he plays tomorrow against Boston, the Thunder are probably going to lose. Were you at all, surprised by Shai sitting out tonight?
No, I would have been surprised and quite dejected if he had played tonight. They would have won if he played tonight, probably comfortably.
Maybe by 25.
Yes. the Magic may have flown the white flag there in the third quarter if SGA's on the court. But, I think it was good strategy to do it the way they did, listening, the way they did for a couple of days. So clearly it's the best move. The Thunder is now one win up or down, however you want to look at it. They've got one more win than both Orlando and Detroit. They still play Orlando and Detroit.
Yeah, so both at home.
Last couple of weeks of the season is going to be very interesting. So
yeah.
So I didn't have any problem with it. If the NBA, if the NBA doesn't like it, they can eat grass for all I care. So.
Yeah, I also have no problem with it. Like you said, it would almost be organizational malpractice if he did play tonight. So it makes sense from that standpoint. But I guess just a peek behind the curtains, I do struggle with it from a reporting standpoint because I still have to ask, why Shai not playing and all of this stuff, even though I know the answer to that, or at least I feel like I still have to ask that stuff. So it's like everyone knows what's going on, but you still have to say something about it, still have to write something about it, and it just gets a little uneasy there.
It's unseemly. There's not any question about it. It's like, it's like working in a sausage factory. There's not any question about that. But, what are you going to do? People like to eat sausage. People got to work. You got to have, so... If we don't understand it, we can call Sam Presti. He'll explain it. This is the best way to rebuild. So, next question. Move on down the road.
Yeah.
But it was gruesome. I would say. Most of the time they're playing. They don't play Orlando. Most of their competitors for the worst record are in the East, so they don't play them near as much. So they're always playing an interesting team, Utah or whoever. I'm trying to think, Denver, the LA teams, whoever it might be. They don't play Orlando or Detroit or Indiana that often. And frankly, they've only, they played them all in the back half. They had that game with Detroit early in the year.
Yeah.
But outside of those teams, we saw none of them.
Even like the start of this road trip in San Antonio, San Antonio's not good, but it – when Shai's playing and the Spurs are better than the Magic, like that didn't feel off. But gosh, tonight it's like how's anyone gonna try to watch this again a few nights from now?
It was not good.
I'm actually taking tomorrow's game against the Celtics off since it's a road home back to back. But I should have taken Wednesday's game off on second thought after watching that. But
that's Orlando's back in town, right?
Yeah, Orlando's back in town.
See, that's huge. It's a lot bigger game than the Celtic. It's huge. It's not easy to write about or fun to write about. Or it doesn't even make any sense.
It's a way bigger game.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
If the dang Magic had beaten the Pistons the other night, I think that game was in Orlando, I think. If that had just happened, Thunder would be tied with the Magic right now. in wins.
Yeah. Just for all you non-tankathon followers, just to break it down, the difference between finishing third from last and fourth from last. So number one pick, third from last, as first and second, have a 14% chance. Fourth place, fourth from the bottom, 12.5% chance, so a 1.5% difference. Second, 13.4 versus 12.2. Third, 12.7 versus 11.9. Fourth, 12 versus 11.5. Fifth is a big one, 14.8% versus 7.2%. Sixth, both of them are high, 26 and 25.7%. But after that, if you finish third worst, you can fall no lower than seventh. If you finish fourth worst, there's a 2.2% chance you fall to eighth. So it's all incremental. It's all small. It might be insignificant, but you have to try to give yourselves the best odds possible.
That's true. And I mean, when you talk about 2 percentage points, I mean, that's the difference between a guy shooting 33% from three-point range and a guy shooting 35% from three-point range.
Yeah.
One's
we talk
actually,
about those guys a lot differently.
Yeah, I mean, it sort of matters. Now, unlikely that it makes that big a difference, but you just gotta do whatever you can.
Yeah.
Gotta do whatever you can.
Just moving on, first in this game, we talked about Poku's bad line. He was 3 of 20. I felt bad for Trey Manberry. He was 5 of 19, just couldn't get it going, and he had so many people in the seats.
He clearly was pressing.
Yeah, I thought so too.
It's probably good for the Thunder that all those people showed up. Your story was fantastic about the villages, the retirement. People don't know what the villages is. When we say retirement community, we're not talking about, you know, a collection of buildings on May Avenue or something. This is like a town, a planned community of like 30,000 people live there. I mean, it's a massive place. It's a huge place. It's, I guess, the best way for people in this part of the country, and it's bigger than this, but it's a little like Bella Vista, Arkansas, which is sort of the same thing, a planned retirement community over there in the Ozarks, north of Fayetteville. It's a little bit like that, only it's more elaborate. They've got their own police department, their own school system, all kinds of stuff. And it's just people from all over America go there and retire. And they have a school system because the people who work and keep the city going and all that have kids. And Trey Mann's dad, you wrote about it, he went there and was one of the transportation drivers. They have shuttles taking people all over the place, you know. And the senior citizens of this Florida town love their basketball and get behind the local high school. Trey Mann's the greatest player they ever had, so they've been crazy about him and have a huge following for their team, even when they don't have a Trey Mann on the squad. So it's a cool story. And now he comes back. He plays 2 years at Florida. Now he's with the Thunder. And one of the guys quoted in your story said, you know, we probably know more about the Thunder than people of Oklahoma, which it very well could be this season. Back in the Westbrook days, Durant days, no. But today, yes. But it was a cool story, no doubt. So he's got – plus the Florida connection. There's no doubt he had over 100 people there, just specifically that he knew and were cheering for him. And it's natural to press, and he was not very good tonight at all. And he'd been really good. For a good chunk of this season. I sort of slumped here in recent weeks. But, he clearly was pressing, and I felt bad for him on that regard. He certainly got a lot of looks tonight. What would you say, 19? Is that what you said, 5 and 19?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And two of those baskets came late. Rough night, but definitely a cool story, and happy that, you know, he had so many people here to support him. Let's wrap up with some prospect talk. Were you able to watch the Memphis Gonzaga game?
Just a little bit, not much.
Okay.
One eyeball type thing because they played at the same time as the OU women. But I'm actually a little more impressed with Chet Holmgren than I was going in. He needs about 20 pounds of muscle on each leg. That'd get me more excited than anything. But he's clearly skilled, and he's clearly, what's the word? He's not strong, but he's a little bit more durable, I would say, than maybe I thought he might be.
Yeah.
So I think he can be a really good player and maybe a star. I don't know.
Yeah, he's pretty physical for as skinny as he is, yeah. And he's kind of a fighter. Like even though he's giving up 100 pounds or 75 pounds to Jalen Duren the other night. And I was, obviously Holmgren's a better prospect than Duren, but I was far more impressed with Chet, and just his length is so disruptive around the rim. Like, guys don't know what to do with it. I think his offense is going to look even better in the NBA, given the spacing. So, really high on Chet. I need to watch more of Jabari Smith to see kind of compare those two guys. Saw a little bit of Jaden Ivey. Any other top prospects you've seen, Barry, that you want to mention?
Well, I watched a good chunk of the Duke game today.
And yeah.
I am not trying to say this is true every night. The guy that most impressed me was their 7'1" center, Williams. He looks better than the other two guys. Now, I know that Paco and A.J. Griffin are excellent prospects, and they'll go very high. But I was very impressed with that Williams guy.
Yeah,
Hands and good skills. I don't know, is he projected to go or not?
Projected to go sort of back into the first round, so he might be a guy who's there with that 30th pick.
I liked him a lot. I don't know who else.
What do you think of Jeremy Sohan from Baylor?
He's feisty. Mm-hmm. A little too feisty yesterday, the whole dang game was. But, I mean, they turned Brady Manek into a gladiator, for crying out loud. You covered Brady Manek. You know he's not a gladiator. But, sometimes you get put into the pit and you got to go crazy.
Yeah. But
I liked him more than I thought. He made some shots. He's still not greatly skilled, but he's sort of a heady ball player and a tough ball player. He looks like he could be. A more athletic, slightly less skilled Kenrich Williams type guy. Can just do all kinds of things on the court. I don't know that he's ever going to shoot 40% from 3-point range,
yeah.
But he's tough. And he's knowledgeable. He knows how to play. His parents, as you informed me, met at Panhandle State in Oklahoma, which makes him the coolest dude in the whole wide world to me. I got to talk to the guy. Anybody that spent time at Panhandle, the great untold story, Bill Beatonbow, the OU offensive line coach, he coached a year at Panhandle State. And I have not done that story. And there for a minute, I thought he was going to go to USC with Lincoln Riley. And the whole state's bummed out at Lincoln's turncoatness. And I was bummed out because not that he was leaving or taking Caleb Williams. I was bummed out he's taking Bill Beatonbow because I hadn't done that story. But I like the kid.
You're going to have to do a story on Sohan then, because he's got the weirdest route ever. Born in Guymon. His mom is Polish. She came over to play basketball. He moved to England, and he's played for the Polish national team because of his mom. So, from Panhandle State to the Polish national team.
Yeah.
I mentioned him. I wanted to mention him because I wanted to talk about mid-level the Oklahoma guys.
He's probably a mid-level guy. There's a lot of people think he may go in the teens.
Yeah, that's what – see, I haven't watched, as much college basketball and done draft prep, but when I was just doing some research, I was kind of surprised that he was being mentioned as a lottery guy, sort of a back end lottery pick. I didn't know he was that well thought of.
Yeah, and Brown also. I had an NBA person told me that Brown and Sohan probably both going to go in the first round. Mm-hmm. Greg Brown, the other freshman from Baylor. So. They just so much of this stuff. They see stuff I don't see, or I don't look for, I guess. It doesn't have a whole lot to do with college dominance or college skill. I don't know. We'll have to see it all plays out. But, you know, Baylor goes out, which is unfortunate. I was pulling for the Fighting Baylor Bears, but...
I was saying I was excited to watch Keegan Murray, and then Iowa gets upset.
Oh, I didn't like him at all. I didn't like him at all. I kept thinking, this guy is supposed to be a first half of the first round type guy. I don't see it. I'm watching Ivy now. I didn't get to see much of his game the other night, but he's clearly a good play. You know, his mother's the head coach at Notre Dame women.
Yeah, they showed
it's
her.
The darndest thing. I didn't know that till this weekend.
Yeah, they showed her watching the game from her Oklahoma City hotel, just watching her son play. So I thought that was cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That is cool. But it's fun watching these guys.
Since he's kind of local as a Big 12 guy, what do you think of Oshae Igbaji from Baylor or from Kansas? I'm sorry,
a Kansas man. I think he could be a solid pro. I doubt he's any kind of star, but he's athletic, not terribly athletic, but pretty athletic, and he's thick. He's not a thin guy, but he moves pretty good. He shoots pretty good. He's one of those guys, you know, you can have a long NBA career if you can do one thing well.
Yeah.
Whether it's defend or shoot or whatever. The guys who are sort of all around good ball players but not star level, sometimes they can get shoved back. I'm fearful that could happen to Igbaji, but I don't know if it will. He's probably there with Sohan, you know.
Yeah, just, those two guys could both be there with that Clippers pick.
Yeah. Christian Brown is mentioned as a late first-round pick, kid from Kansas. I don't like him. I don't see him finishing too well in the NBA. He doesn't finish well in college. I don't know how he's going to finish well in the NBA. So that's probably is that it on Big 12 players? I don't like the Texas guys. Tech.
Yeah, I think that might be it as far as Big 12 goes.
You know, I don't know about Isaiah Brockington at Iowa State. He's a really good player, but he's probably going to have to get by on his shooting, then he's probably not a good enough shooter. So,
yeah,
that may be it.
Yeah, he's no Doug Eddard, who I didn't write up before the tournament. But oh goodness, go St. Peter's, go! That's such a fun story. I love the tournament because of stuff like that.
I saw a picture today of St. Peter's gym. It looks quite a bit like Norman North's, except it's not. It's clearly not as new or quite as nice, but it's built just like Norman North's and probably seats about the same. Maybe seats, I don't know, maybe 2,500, maybe.
It's crazy.
But all they did is beat Kentucky. That's all they did. So, the pearly gates were swinging wide on Thursday night. I can promise you that.
That was awesome. All right. Well, we'll wrap it up there. Thank you guys so much for listening to the Thunder Buddies podcast. I am off tomorrow night, so we won't have a podcast after that Celtics game. But Barry, maybe we'll, if we can bring ourselves to do it, maybe we'll jump back on after that second Thunder Magic game.
Well, we got to. The Magic provide too much material, far too much material not to discuss. Far too
All
much.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you then.